This movement is totally without ideals and lacks even the semblance of a program. Its commitment is entirely to action. The leaders choose action on a cold, calculating, and cunning basis. For National Socialists, there was and is no aim they would not take up or drop at a moment's notice, their only criterion being the strengthening of the movement. Rauschning exaggerated the case, but it is perfectly true that Nazi ideology cannot be summarized in a program or platform. It can be better understood as a maelstrom of prejudices, passions, hatreds, emotions, resentments, biases, hopes, and attitudes that, when combined, most often resembled a religious crusade wearing the mask of a political ideology. Contrary to his relentless assertions in Mein Kampf, Hitler had no great foundational ideas or ideological system. His genius lay in the realization that people wanted to rally to ideas and symbols. And so his success lay in the quintessential techniques, technologies, and icons of the 20th century. Marketing, advertising, radio, airplanes, TV. He broadcast the Berlin Olympics. Film, think Leni Riefenstahl. And most of all, oratory to massive, exquisitely staged rallies. Time and again in Mein Kampf, Hitler makes it clear that he believed his greatest gift to the party wasn't his ideas, but his ability to speak. Conversely, his sharpest criticism of others seems to be that so-and-so was not a good speaker. This was more than simple vanity on Hitler's part. In the 1930s in Germany and America alike, the ability to sway the masses through oratory was often the key to power. Without the loudspeaker, Hitler once observed, we would never have conquered Germany. Note the use of the word conquered. However, saying that Hitler had a pragmatic view of ideology is not to say that he didn't use ideology. Hitler had many ideologies. Indeed, he was an ideology peddler. Few great men were more adept at adopting, triangulating, and blending different ideological poses for different audiences. This was the man, after all, who had campaigned as an ardent anti-Bolshevik, then signed a treaty with Stalin, and convinced Neville Chamberlain, as well as Western pacifists, that he was a champion of peace, while busily and openly arming for war. Nevertheless, the four significant ideas we can be sure Hitler treasured in their own right were power concentrated in himself, hatred and fear of Jews, faith in the racial superiority of the German folk, and ultimately war to demonstrate and secure the other three. The popular conception that Hitler was a man of the right is grounded in a rich complex of assumptions and misconceptions about what constitutes left and right. Terms that get increasingly slippery the more you try to nail them down.